This is special coverage here on WNYC, picking up the pieces from this storm. The authorities are doing it, but each in our own way. We're all asking the questions. So when's it going to get back to normal? What's it going to take? What are our big questions? We've also had some amazing images of people who have seen amazing things, images in New York and the tri-state area, things they've never seen before. Andrea Bernstein telling us about 41 million gallons of water in the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, what that means. The PATH station, essentially a boat raceway. It's no longer a train station until they pump that water out. What have you seen? We've already gotten some extraordinary images from so many of you at 646-829-3980. And Ben Bradford, I've got the image of one man walking down Broadway this morning in a dark, wet city.
That's about right, yeah. I started on 155th and Broadway at about 6 a.m. and kind of meandered my way down until I got to Battery Park just about a little over an hour ago.
So it was before dark when you started up at 155th Street.
That's right. It was just about dawn when I started at 155th, and it was really interesting to go through both the day and see the day, you know, see the day start and see the day begin and see people kind of figuring out what the day after the storm was going to be, and then also to go through these different areas that had experienced had very different experiences for the storm.
Ben Bradford from the WNYC newsroom, whose eyes and ears and I gather intrepid feet were all over Broadway today from 155th Street down to the tip of Manhattan. Now, we know what the situation is at the Battery, and we'll hear about that. Of course, the images were all over the media of the flooding that took place there. But on 155th Street, did you get a sense that you were remote in any sense from this flooding?
Yeah, I think that's a really good description of it, actually. There were some signs. I mean, you knew that there had been a storm. There were leaves on the ground. There were actually a couple of trees, particularly on 155th, which is sort of the near the highest point of Washington Heights. And you could see that, you know, the wind had really done some damage to, you know, knock some trees over, a few storefronts, broken glass, a couple of cars had been damaged. But, you know, really nothing like what you're seeing downtown. And what was interesting about it was actually how many places were open. So you go to 136th Street, and there's a block on 136th, between 136th and 135th on Broadway, where there were three delis, a Chinese restaurant, and a laundromat that had been open all night and were still open the day.
And there's a certain amount of honor associated with we will stay open no matter what. In a lot of those neighborhoods, particularly up in Washington Heights, where, you know, business is business. A hurricane is one thing, but business is business.
Yeah, I think that's right. And they did not have the same. I mean, they didn't have the water effects. They had some of the wind effects. So it was a little different. And then we traveled down.
And who did you meet along the way?
Right. Well, I think my favorite representative of the Upper West Side. Right. So after you get past sort of that Washington Heights area, my favorite representative of the Upper West Side was probably Brian Mulligan. Here he is.
We had power the entire night. We kind of had a hurricane party and played Wii, just hung out. I mean, we were very lucky, I think.
Yeah, I'd say he's very lucky playing Wii.
Yeah.
And what part of the Upper West Side are we at? Are we
so
above Zabar's or below Zabar's?
just below Zabar's. Yeah, it was about I think I met them on 70th, but they were sort of bouncing between 60th and 80th. They were going to brunch at their friend's place, after the friends they'd hosted at the hurricane party.
And, you know, part of what you're describing here, though, is this sense of excitement and adrenaline about being in the storm, which is totally different from this experience of, oh, my goodness, what have we just been through? And then what it's going to be like over the next several weeks. I imagine even those folks who were partying with the Wii are going to be feeling some of the effects of the damaged infrastructure here in New York.
Yeah, I think that's right. And actually, a good example of that was really when you started getting down to Midtown, because you know, that's the area where there wasn't, particularly on Broadway, which, you know, really runs through sort of the center of the city. If you go a few blocks over, you started to see more damage. But in Midtown, you have the tourists and you start getting into sort of the hotel district, and they didn't suffer necessarily any damage to their belongings or any water damage or anything along those lines. But it definitely disrupted their lives, and they're trying to figure out, OK, where do I go next and how do I get out of there? And a lot of them just were actually out on the street and shopping. That was one of the things that we saw was people who just said that they were looking for something to do, were, you know, they were in New York for more days, and they were trying to figure out how to fill them and how to see things when everything was closed.
And I was on Times Square on Sunday, and it was amazing because it transformed from about noon on Sunday to this completely carefree tourist, we can do anything we want, to suddenly over the next couple of hours, as the word got out that the subway was going to close down and the Broadway shows were closed, suddenly these tourists were going, you know, what's wrong? What's happened? There's suddenly nothing to do. The place closed down like, you know, Cleveland at 8 p.m. on a Wednesday.
Right. And then it reopened like Times Square today. It was busy again today. I mean, there were people down there, and it wasn't as busy as it would usually be. But it was hopping. The only thing is that as you got down to that section, I think because you have more chains, there were less things open. So you started to see these really long lines, people waiting for food, going to, you know, the one restaurant on the block that was enterprising enough to get over there and to open and try to rake in all the customers.
The rumor is that a lot of the seafood restaurants really had to get rid of their stock because without power, they have no way of freezing even their seafood. And in New York, if you freeze your seafood, nobody's going to buy it at a restaurant anyway, so you pretty much have to sell it retail. So a lot of the restaurants stayed open just for that reason. Below 42nd Street, who do we begin to meet?
Right. So below 42nd Street, well, you have – first of all, I have to talk to you about the power line,
yeah.
Right? And then we'll go a little further down and we'll meet some of the other kind of characters. But the power line, there's this point where you get to about Herald Square, a little bit south of Herald
Square.
So that's, now we're talking about 34th Street. And then as you get down to about 29th Street, that's about where on Broadway they start to lose power. And as I was walking down, all of a sudden I see this, I come to the Ace Hotel, which is on 29th and Broadway. And it's ringed by people. There's people all the way around it. And what they've done is they've discovered they're people from Lower Manhattan who've lost power, and they've discovered that there are external sockets on the Ace Hotel, which has power, and they can plug in their cell phones.
Oh, that's amazing.
So what they've done is some people have actually brought power strips, and they're sharing. There's this kind of community spirit. They've got their power strips, and people are coming around. There was people from Toronto, mingling with people who, tourists who were mingling with people who just lived downtown.
I'd give that about 12 hours, and then that's going to be metered.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there was no
power strip, 50 cents an hour, $5 an hour.
Right. And then the other thing I want to say about that is my favorite thing that I saw in sort of the power line area, right? This whole sort of thirst for power.
I love it.
Was these women were outside of Starbucks, and they had they were using the Wi-Fi from the closed Starbucks because it was the closest point that had the Wi-Fi still coming out, and it had electricity.
So it's like some sort of dystopian movie where the hunger for electricity brings out the electronic zombies, and they're plugging in their cell phones and using the Wi-Fi and going, oh, we're reconnected again.
Yeah,
but in some cases, because you need information, these are serious matters. In some cases, life and death matters.
Yeah, that's right. And one of the things that was really interesting about it was that people were really going off of rumors. They were going off of they'd heard that there was power further up. If they kept walking, they'd heard there was power. But speaking of dystopian, so if you go further down past that,
right,
and you get into the area where there is no power, and by this time it's getting dark because I really took my time going down there. And by this time, it's getting dark. And, as you walk over to about Howard Street, so Broadway and about Howard. Now, by this point, it's pitch black. I have my not pitch black. I mean, there's cars going around. I have my flashlight out. And I see this car, and it's shining its light into these two open doors of a grocery store. And so I walked in and wanted to see what was going on. I talked to the manager there, John Yee.
Since we're out of power, only power source, a light source, is my manager's car. He's flashing the headlights into the store so we can at least see a little bit. And then pretty much you need a flashlight to shop here. So, if you're going to come down, bring a flashlight.
Now, any other time that had been an off-duty cop who was trying to see if the place was being rolled.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that, I think that store, actually, I think that was the final open store downtown.
Wow. What street was it on?
That was on, I believe it was Howard or Worth.
So let me ask you about a visual here. You talked about this great power line where the people were finding power up around 29th, and then you descend into this sort of dark zone in lower Manhattan. Was there any sense that as you look behind you, you could see the light of this kind of emerald city of New York? And as you were moving further downtown, you were entering something of a cave. Did it literally feel that way?
Yeah, that was absolutely the sense. And particularly because the light was dropping as I was doing it. And but one of the things that was interesting about it that made it look even more like that is there were people walking from the dark section of town into the light, trying to find the light. So, it felt like you were in some sort of, you know, wasteland rather than, you know, New York City.
Amazing. Any other people you meet? Any other advice for people who want to make this journey?
So I got all the way down to the end, right? And you're through the part, we're through the power line. We're into where it's totally pitch black. And I get to Battery Park. And at the very end of it all, there's no power. I get to Cheryl Wurzel.
We expected the worst, but we came back to a building that never lost power. We have water, we have everything except for cable and internet, so darn, can't check email.
And I thought that was really nice.
And that's at the tip of Manhattan?
Yeah, so they live in one of the apartments in Battery Park, and what they were doing was Cheryl and her boyfriend, and they were walking around Battery Park. They'd had to evacuate the night before because they were in Zone A, and they were coming back, and they were a little bit over. I think they were a little bit west of Battery Park, their actual apartment. But they, after all of this area that had no light, all of a sudden at the very tip, just like where I started at 155th Street, they have power.
A little on-the-road story there from Ben Bradford of the WNYC newsroom from 155th Street to Battery Park. Thanks so much, Ben.
Thanks for having me.